Okay, welcome back. I think we're episode 185, right? Get
That's
that right?
correct. This is 185. Tim, how are you?
Very well. Joe, how are you?
Well, I'm just reeling with the the siege of the Capitol.
The insurrection, the
The insurrection. It's a new TV show, and I've watched it four times.
The Capitol's a
So
smoldering ruins, right? That, I
it's
understand, 'cause,
that's right. We
yeah.
won. We broke in. I guess Nancy Pelosi was captured, and she's been naming names ever since they started torturing her.
Yeah,
I
some of the
mean,
protesters ran off with one of her wigs or something. I don't know.
Well, I'm glad we were able to discuss this last week, and we talked about the possibility of the whole thing being a theatrical production, and that there would be a false flag, because I'm sure you caught the video of the shooting. And of course, the details surrounding it. And I think that's, something we should mention is that the shooting seems to be just completely fake. And it was just done with the idea of being able to create a little, blood so that the insurrection meme could be taken seriously, even though if you look at the video, you can see that the insurrectionists were being waved in by the police. And so this is a complete absurdity, and yet now this is being presented as a meme. I mean, it's quite interesting, I mean, just from propaganda perspective, is that it was totally fake. Everyone can see it's fake, but it doesn't matter. They're still going to use it as, we've got to impeach Trump because he attempted insurrection,
I mean, that's a whole other thing is where, that accusation is thrown out without any evidence. There was this event on January 6th, of course, the U.S. Congress certified the electors, and the controversy was that there's going to be challenges, as many as 12 senators and dozens, dozens, and maybe more than 100 members of the House of Representatives were going to challenge the election. And maybe perhaps make it a contingent election. There's discussion of forming a commission, a 10-day commission, have these things reviewed, sent back to the states, given the questions regarding these electors from these six or seven states. Nevertheless, there are thousands of Trump supporters did descend upon Washington, D.C. for a rally, hundreds of thousands. It's hard to estimate these things, but it was a throng, a huge crowd, for. If not on behalf of Donald Trump, against election fraud. I don't think the personality of Donald Trump is the sole motivating factor behind this. But as the rally ended, it was a peaceful rally, respectful, a typical white riot, as I call it. No property destruction. It's clean. Apparently, hundreds of the hundreds of thousands. Approached the Capitol and were able to breach some security barricades. As you mentioned, some of the videos did show some people being overwhelmed, also others just opening them up. So it's hard to assess that, not being there. There was a lot of anecdotal evidence of infiltration or agent provocateurs, and of course that doesn't surprise anybody who's the least bit knowledgeable of these things, whether it's Antifa or something or FBI, whatever. Contractors, these things can be done, and they are done, and it appears they had been done because there's video. Apparently, the people who were breaking windows, the mild damage that was inflicted, apparently was done by people who are these provocateurs, I guess, presumably Antifa members. Of course, the Antifa doesn't exist, just an idea, so they can't be Antifa members. Nevertheless, and there are some videos of some people who said they witnessed police. But escorting vans in to unload said protesters. Now, that's what they say. I didn't see it, but again, not surprising if it did occur. I guess some of the imaging was stirring, if not shocking. That's again, it's all a matter of perspective and angle. Again, huge protest. Just there are some disturbances up on Capitol Hill. They were led into the building, and some of these insurrectionists or terrorists, were polite enough to follow the velvet line, the rope line, into these places. No statues were toppled. A few got raucous. There's a Viking guy who got up on, got went into the hall itself of the well. Apparently, got up within the days. A couple of people got into Nancy Pelosi's office. I can't have to admit that I'm a little amused by that. In the old days, I think you remember, this stuff was considered sexy and cool to do this. Remember, it was Columbia University, the famous, it's an iconic photograph. Is it Mark Rudd who's,
Mark Rudd,
yeah,
SDS. Yeah, I
he,
got into the dean of Columbia's office and smoked a cigar.
he's sitting comfortably behind his desk and not
Yeah,
fearing any
the
retribution or
sunglasses, totally
consequences.
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And these pictures become iconic, right? They can, this type of things you see in t-shirts or something, but then it's reenacted. So apparently this old guy got in Nancy Pelosi's office. He sat behind her desk, propped his feet up. He's now being arrested. But anyway, so this occurred. There's you said there's a report of a woman being shot. It's the ballistics and the angles are interesting to say the least. I don't know. I honestly don't know. I don't trust what I see in television. Anyone who does is foolish. I'm just shit throwing it out there. It does look weird. Did there some guy would fire one shot? No one would disperse directly into people who have, several police officers who are heavily armed. Doesn't seem to make any sense. But nonetheless, the event occurred, and then it was con the media formed a narrative. They blamed Donald Trump for it, saying he incited it. There's no evidence of that. In fact, I think he's one that called the National Guard, called for calm and peace. Quite the opposite. But nevertheless, there's a deranged rhetoric of Chuckie Schumer, Senator Schumer, Nancy Pelosi. Now there's calls for Pence invoking the 25th Amendment. He's Pence said he's not going to do that. And then there's also calls for impeachment. I don't know. 13 days left in the administration. Less than 13 days, 12 days, really. Less than that, actually, as we record. But even this is weird because, I sent you that tweet by Judge Napolitano.
Yeah.
Now, Judge Napolitano, the sort of the libertarian commentator on Fox News, I haven't seen him lately, but he sent this tweet: "President Trump is even more deranged than I ever imagined during my 35 years of knowing him. Since November 3rd, he has been unhinged from reality. Today, he invited and incited an attack on the government he has sworn to protect. He should be arrested tonight. Vice President Pence should invoke the 25th Amendment before the president pardons these thugs or does more damage to freedom. The VP will easily get the votes of a majority of the cabinet." Now, that's a little wacky because what information is he operating on for those? I don't think there's any evidence to back up, the judge's remarks on that. I mean, I did some of the comments I thought were funny to the tweet. One guy commented, he did not incite the attack. He also called the protesters not to do so and leave. The video has since been censored. Yeah, Twitter shut it off. This obviously totally ignores the numerous instances of familiar behavior by the left that have been totally ignored. Judge stopped hyperventilating. A few clowns dressed up in silly costumes and trespassed, walked around shouting the flags with flags for a couple of hours. It's not the end of the world. Again,
Well,
he goes. He,
I just wanted to say about that is, I think it's important to look at all of this as theater,
yeah.
and then when you look at Judge Napolitano, his statement, it comes from it's a way of leveraging his actor role
Yeah.
in the media as a conservative. Opposed to what can be called demonic liberalism. I mean, he's been sort of this wise person who has a lot of good reasons for traditional American values and legal ideas. And so now they bring him out just to give the impression, the dramatic impression, that there is some coherency in the next act of the drama. In which now they're going to go after Trump for insurrection, when it's obviously just a theatrical prop. I mean, the behavior of the crowds cannot be under any fantasy construed as an insurrection. They were just a tiny fraction. There were actual videos that I have seen of certain of the police letting them in, waving. So. This is, this is a dramatic structure. the fact is the drama goes, of course, back to the election when it became clear that the vote count was a fraud. We were from that moment on. I think what's taking place is it's a continuation of the kind of BLM Antifa, taking of the knee.
Yeah,
it's just a way to damage the self-esteem and the and just sort of the coherency of the European races. I mean, that's what this is, Tim. I mean, there isn't any political purpose for any of this. It's not real, so it's obvious to see what we're dealing with here. So when you have, when you have Pence on the evening before the after the crowds have already come to Washington, D.C., making an announcement that, well, I can't really go against the Constitution. Now, clearly, Trump and Pence could have worked out this detail in the days leading up to the demonstration, right?
Yes.
This could easily have been, the agreement between them could have become clear, but it was announced after the fact. But it basically gave the understanding that there wasn't going to be this dramatic refusal to certify Biden as president. You know, the rumors had been circulating that there was explosive evidence they were going to bring out, and that at the end of the day, Pence was just going to draw a line in the sand and say, no, I can't certify votes that I know are fraudulent. Well, the day before, Pence put the kibosh on that. It was too late to get these people, to return to their homes. And they wanted to be there to basically announce their support for, no more fraudulent elections. But they were being sucker punched. The whole European sort of understanding of American democracy was being eroded, taken away from them. So now they're in a position where they are given no chance for elections, because let's face it, if Biden's presidency goes forward, I mean, what will the next election be?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, just because Trump is challenging election results, Judge Napolitano calls it deranged. What's deranged about it?
Yeah, that's right. This is just an actor coming forward who's been given a certain trust by the reason
he's a lawyer. There's a certain amount of precision should be associated with it. The language he chooses.
Think of why they bring him out. Who does he connect to emotionally?
Yeah.
Who does he have weight with? So for him to make such a bizarre statement, it's a way to get at the soul, the intellectual, the kind of rational soul of the people who have given him trust. I mean, this is propaganda at a very sophisticated level,
mm-hmm.
and all of it is going to be leading up to the way that the European people will be treated and during the Biden presidency, which will basically be pushed down into a lower social status, where they're not even expected to vote, basically, because after this election with Biden getting in, he now has. He has the standing of someone who basically stole the election, right? That's everyone knows that.
Yeah.
And he wasn't stopped. No one could stop him. So where does this leave all those people who are sitting there protesting?
Well, what's the point of voting for the lesser of two evils when it's rigged?
Well, in exactly. But there is so the thing is, there isn't any real hope in the way that this this democratic structure is assembled for European people. They control all the different apparatus. They now just can have machines that can add and subtract votes whenever they feel like it. So we're just slowly being ratcheted down.
Voting is the basis of the currency.
Yeah, and of course the currency is also being destroyed. So we're just in a process of sophisticated propaganda that confuses us. So the first thing it does is we don't look at the right enemy. We don't look at the globalists, the Jewish banking families, the people who are really orchestrating this. We look at this struggle between Biden and Trump, or between, you know, the deep state and Trump, or the white hats, whatever it is, you know, the particular fantasy anyone has about this. But it's hard to get someone to just focus on who's controlling all of this, because I'm hoping that the orchestration is so obvious. I did get, you know, I sent you that one, a couple of communications I got from people who were there, mm-hmm. and they both took the position that Trump is a lifetime actor. They came hopeful, but they went away clear-minded, because they could see it at the end of the day that this had been orchestrated, that this was just being done to damage them, to make them feel impotent. And so, you know, we have to develop a strategy to organize ourselves and to find a way to fight back against
This. The distinction is showing support or sympathy for Trump supporters, not Trump.
You know, exactly.
There's a difference. Which, and also, this is what Trump posing as the populist. Well, then you got to support populism. It's the war on populism, as C.J. Hopkins calls it. And that's a good way to kind of characterize what's going on, because that's what they're trying to impose, a technocratic, you know, feudal slave state. And that's the end game here. But I heard one person characterize it, if I can. He said, the problem with the sort of left-right two-party illusion is it makes everyone sort of have faith in savior, looking for a political savior, a messiah to come down and solve the problem. That's not going to happen. And he marveled at how much time and energy and emotion is invested in trying to prevent a corrupt millionaire Zionist from becoming president by supporting a billionaire Zionist president. Yeah, shill. You know, and so that's what we're stuck with is, and that's, and you know, the best illustration is, you know, we talk about the election and whether or not the fraud constitutes treason or I think it was on December 31st, Jonathan Pollard was flown back to Israel after he was pardoned by Donald Trump on Sheldon Adelson's plane. Sheldon Adelson is a huge Republican donor, big donor to Donald Trump. He's a his wife is an Israeli. He's a Zionist. He's a casino mogul like Trump. Jonathan Pollard was reported to be some of the most damaging spy operation ever. And he's been in prison since the late 1980s. But why was he pardoned? Why isn't Aldrich Ames or Robert Hansen pardoned? You know, core that they're not Jewish. And so there's the Trump administration. Of course, the Trump administration then surrounded by that same interest, that tribal interest, and of course the same thing with the Biden. That's sort of at the meta level. That one aspect of meta politics that has to be contended with if the United States is going to get any semblance of national sovereignty or get put back on put on the right track. But we can't do that because that's not acceptable in political discourse right as of yet, because political discourse is largely controlled by that tribe.
We're sitting here, you know, actually taking serious the problem of Trump being accused as an insurrectionist, when this is obviously theater. It's not serious, but we're wasting time and energy just clarifying the situation for the purpose, hopefully, that beyond that, people can start to think of the broad strokes. Because let's face it, the people were brought in were just so deluded about the reality of what they were up against. You know, they thought they were fighting Biden, but actually, you know, Biden and Trump have a, as you point out with the Pollard pardon, they have so much more in common than in opposition. And so we have to look, you know, beyond this, the struggle that they're giving us to a deeper historical, problem and control. And I'll tell you the truth, Tim, I was actually moved. I'm pretty cynical. And I, of course, had anticipated exactly more or less what happened. But it was upsetting to me because I felt that, you know, there were so many Europeans who were going to be suffering as a result of going and, you know, having such a confusing and then being accused of being insurrectionist, you know, having to basically put on the defensive. But I will say that I do think this is all being is has the advantage of being very clarifying. I think that the people who are into the Q white hat deep state struggle between good guys and bad guys, Trump playing 5D chess. I think that that swept up a lot of people. They wanted to believe in it. But I think now it's going to become absolutely clear that Trump was as much, you know, in opposition to our interests as Biden and Harris are. He's just playing a different role. So this, even though it's a, you know, in one way, it's a horrible revelation to see how sophisticated their propaganda is and how overarching their control is of the political system. But you know what, Tim? If we're ever going to change things, we have to know what to attack. And I think this week was very clarifying, very clarifying. I mean, it hasn't, you know, all of the dust hasn't settled yet, but I think ultimately this will help people be more cynical and more skeptical is really what I mean, in terms of the American political theater. They won't give it their emotions. They won't, you know, they will try to look at it as a total package of propaganda and not get swept up in the puppet show that's put in front of us.
Yeah, I mean, what you had current in the sixth is you had an opportunity where in the Congress there'd be a serious debate, a deliberation over the evidence of election fraud, something we haven't gotten yet. There's a lot of accusations, evidence presented, but there's been no hearing, no investigation, despite all the dust up, the Sturm und Drang, and all the controversy. There's been no official inquiry into this, which is telling in and of itself. That could have occurred on the sixth, and also could have started, at least been a grounds for like a 10-day investigation into this thing, a deliberative process. Well, the insurrection stopped that. All of a sudden, all those senators that were going to challenge said, "We can't challenge it now because of what occurred." Well, how does that follow? How does that change the fact that you just said there was a fraudulent election, you're going to challenge it? Doesn't make any sense, but yet it changed the mood of the day. And Rand Paul said, "We're not going to look into this now." You know,
Yeah, you could see that the whole thing was just
yeah.
dramatic theater.
There was a funny thing, of
Our
course, I was reading on
emotions
the
have, you know, our
Napolitano,
emotions have been.
the Napolitano tweet that said about Rand Paul's comment and Judge Napolitano's comment. He goes, "This reminds me," he goes, "when I told my wife that two of her most favorite actors were homosexual, Richard Chamberlain and Rock Hudson." It's like a big letdown. It's like, you know, well, you know, yeah.
Yeah, but
But
this.
it stopped any deliberation. Any so now there's no looking into this. No one's going to look into all of a sudden election fraud isn't an issue anymore when we have
Isn't
an
it
election in
amazing,
2 years.
Tim? Isn't it amazing how
Yeah.
quickly and it's just changed overnight to
Yeah.
insurrection by, you know, by the Trump
Well,
brigade
here's the
as
thing is,
Trump
election
has
fraud was
talked
never a
about.
big issue by the mainstream media. And this is where right now the narrative that was created, it's assumed that that narrative is reigning, you know, that people are accepting it. But I do think that with the mainstream media's coverage of this, yeah, well, half the country is just going to follow along with the mainstream media, but the other half isn't. And just like I think for every one person who showed up in D.C., there are probably 100 who are enraged. So you still have about 75, 85 million Americans who are just outraged by this, who feel disenfranchised, who give the government no legitimacy. So you have a very weak Biden presidency coming, you know, coming into office in a few days. Harris herself is, I'm sorry, she's just insufferable. That's not going to be popular. And so these two front people aren't going to be aren't to be aren't going to be too effective puppets because they've already alienated more than half the country.
Well, and remember, what they're really there for is to implement The ratcheting up of the slave state with the COVID hysteria. One of the reasons why you have this crazy kabuki political theater going on is because it distracts people from the ongoing destruction of our freedoms and our businesses because of the COVID fantasy.
Yeah, that's another thing. Is you know, you had the Capitol, you know, breached or stormed or accessed by protesters, as many, I think, 17 state capitals that this occurred throughout the country. And you're not putting this in context. For the past 10 months, they've shut down the economy. They've thrown millions of people out of work. You know, hundreds of thousands, millions of businesses have been destroyed. People have been told they can't go to church. They can't have weddings. They were told to cancel Christmas and Thanksgiving. They were told to socially distance. They were told to put on masks and just basically stop normal life, all suspend normal life. Then they're wondering why people are a little pissed off. I mean, put this in context. I mean, after they've been lied to constantly about this COVID BS thing, being told one thing or another, contradicting information, people know this now. Millions of Americans are aware of this, and they're wondering. And so politicians and people in government are wondering why a few people might want to get up in the state capitol and lobby their representatives by getting in their face and telling them what they think, you know? I mean, just in general, isn't that a good thing that politicians should be a little bit afraid of their constituents as opposed to being separate, being protected
from them? What there should have been is 10 times the number of people in Washington demanding an end of the lockdown because of the fake pandemic. The whether or not it's Trump or Biden, I mean, the optics are obviously, in my opinion, better for Trump than for Biden Harris. But at the end of the day, they're ruled and run by the same group.
Yeah.
The people, the nation, the American public needs to organize for its interests. We weren't able, because of the control over the political parties, to put forward a candidate that could represent us. So whether or not it was Trump or Biden, whether Biden stole it, these are just distracting, dramatic elements to keep us from the real issue, which is the establishment of a slave state and genocide. So I hope we can use the anger and the sense of bewilderment that people are having as they come away from this whole Trump Biden fiasco and get back to the real issue of fighting both political parties, of fighting the media, of fighting all of the elements of control, which we have to fight through the information revolution. The people that I was able to talk to who were there at the event in Washington, they were hopeful. They actually, to some extent, believed that perhaps, Trump would, come up and actually, defeat Biden somehow and that there would be this heroic recovery of the American dream. We have to stop with the delusion. They have been able to take over the political system. Inside the political system, there is nothing but rot in their control. We have to develop our own political power. It has to be local and small. You know who kind of gets this right is Whitney Webb. I was listening to one of her discussions about this, and she was saying, you got to be local. I don't think she has quite the level of cynicism I do about the overarching, globalist control over both our political parties. But she was saying, they're both corrupt.
Yeah.
And so the degree, I don't think it's relevant. Just we have to assume it is. We have to develop our own political power. We have to stop with the compliance of the dictators. We have to make sure that everyone that we know, we have to be bold. We have to make sure everyone we know is aware that we're not dealing with a bubbling, effervescent political process where two sides are in opposition and you get to choose one or the other. This is a dramatic structure to play to distract us from the fact that on top of it, there is the controlling group and they've enslaved us.
Yeah, and it's so obvious now. Just you would think, given the controversy, that if we did institutions that function like a independent press corps, you had a real political competition that you'd hear some of these concerns voiced. The party, there'd be someone within the Republican Party or the Democrat Party, they would voice some of these concerns, and they're not. It's and you know, there's a lot of people saying, well, the hypocrisy, the double standard of the press. And I understand that criticism, but people have to get past pointing that out because the press, it's not its function. It's
Tim,
not.
there's not a double standard. There's only one standard, and it's Zionist, and it's not it's always in opposition to European sanity and strength. I mean, the principles that are applied in the media and our politics are the same ones you can see, as an example, like in chapter 23 of the Authoritarian Personality. They're just, psychological structures to make us accept slavery. This is the trick, and what we saw this last week was just another one of the elements, to get the effect across. I know I'm kind of a scratchy record, but I've just been, by the events of the week and the people I was talking to, I was just amazed at how many people were unaware of this. They were caught up in the drama that, and so it's just, this is a good time now that it's passed, basically. We should start to try to think more clearly and develop a strategy against the real problem, which is the control that a very small group has over the media, over the political system, over the financial system, and that we are and that they're able to actually seriously consider and implement genociding us and enslaving us first because of this power. So, we do not comply, and we have to constantly be thinking of ways to get to diffuse and to break up that power structure.
Well, yeah, good example is the issue of the whole pandemic operation, where all at least here in the United States, it was implemented at the state level, state and local level, with the federal government largely standing by, which is an issue in and of itself. Those who look at the Trump administration as a savior in this, because he let it happen. He signed the state of emergency, which facilitated this. But when all this election drama was going on, there's been a bill submitted in the New York State Legislature that would allow for the indefinite detention of disease spreaders, carriers, I think they use. Well, really, we're all potentially disease carriers because we're all, biological creatures. There's no definition of what that is, but all of course, this is done under the COVID scam, the pretext of the COVID thing. And so it's, well, wait a second. I mean, where's the outrage here? I mean, you got to fight that. That's where the metal hits the road, or rubber hits the road. That's where they're going to come and get you. And same thing with the economy being shut down. It's being the various mayors and governors and local officials. These are the commissars of working for the World Economic Forum, and they're imposing this, call it communism, whatever, feudalism, whatever. It's a technocratic slave state. This Great Reset idea, and it's. In order to combat it, you're going to have to combat it locally, unfortunately, because there's no sovereign national government, because they're all indebted to the bankers, to the central
We
banking
have to set
system.
it locally and en masse, because it's when there is 100,000 communities with thousands of people in each one that we become undigestible. That's not something that they can just with their propaganda simply bring into control easily. And their propaganda will stop working. Tim, the thing which enslaves us is just our own succumbing to the propaganda. They've just been very good at it. We didn't know it was being applied to us. We believed a particular, the term narrative about reality. And so in that vision of the world and of ourselves, we just became more and more impotent. It became less and less able to stand up to Zionism. it became less and less able to stand up to, for example, Jewish control of the media. Things like this just became, as the years went along and the propaganda became, you know, ingrained, we just can't talk about these things honestly. But the effects of them are constantly being felt and also being increased. And so, you know, as we walk down the road, I think we are getting more and more clear as to where the road goes, and it goes up a cliff. So, you know, as I've said many times, the people who were there at Washington, you know, God bless them, you know, honestly, just wonderful people. And they're there for the right reasons, but they are completely deluded in terms of what they need to attack.
Well, take the energy, go back home, as Trump said, in peace, deny the legitimacy of the federal government because it's fraudulent. It's not even elected. The lead leaders aren't even elected. You have a Congress that has a 10% approval rating, but has a re-election rate of like 95%. How does that work? You know, so I don't think a lot of people are crying over, a few Congress critters being frightened or allegedly frightened. The media says that, and the media pretends like they're outraged. A lot of people are kind of laughing about it, quite frankly. You know, the idea of them being a little frightened, meeting with, you know, having to meet with these people who actually have to work for a living. Ugh. You know, there's a lot of people who do like the idea of storming the Capitol, various capitals. And I think that's going to get more popular as the months go by.
As the lockdown gets worse and worse, and as the hunger comes.
Yeah.
And so I think that may be one of the reasons why they wanted to, you know, put it in our minds. That
they want any protest to be insurrection or un-American, you know, as if there isn't anything to be protesting against.
Yeah. You know,
or to rebel against, for that matter. They're telling you can't go to church. You can't open your business. I mean, for Pete's sake.
And, you know, it's so funny, ironic, is that the reason that that kind of protest and insurrection is wrong is because we live in a democracy.
Yeah, that was the irony, is that there people are – apparently the mob was attacking democracy by opposing electoral fraud.
Right. I mean, this actually was an argument. I mean, I just burst into laughter. You know, like they were accusing the Republicans of being anti-democratic because they couldn't stand the results of an election, and so they attempted to overthrow the government. You know, so it's gaslighting. It's gaslighting. You know, the kind of the question I have is, you know, what would be the right approach if you had a chance to be on these media shows? Because I don't think at this time you should be very subtle. I think, you know, people should just be, you know, when these talking heads, you know, come into their presence, if you're ever in, because I was seeing some of the interviews they were doing with the protesters.
Did you see, before that, sorry to interrupt you, but Senator Johnson was on Meet the Press with Chuck Todd?
Yeah.
Did you see how rattled Chuck Todd was? Because Senator Johnson actually fought back a little bit and actually pointed out certain facts to him. And Chuck Todd was like, huh. He was like rubbing his beard and he didn't know how to respond to it. It was so, I mean, Chuck Todd came across so amateur and so nervous and fidgety.
Well, Tim, you can't lose these arguments because for heaven's sake, you're presenting the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, they are propagandists. I mean, some of them are pretty sophisticated, and the technique is, you know, well developed. But when you're speaking the truth, humans have the capacity to recognize that. Mm-hmm. I think even now, and if you're just honest and you let your emotions free, because you know you have the right to be human, the right to feel these things, and not be happy with having your business destroyed. People get it. You have a sense of reality that I just think is unmistakable, and it's even more important than the words. That was why, like last week, we talked about that Oregon businessman who was, you know, it wasn't that he was eloquent. It was that he was so real and heartfelt.
Yeah.
And that's what that's what I would hope the people who are there in Washington could have as the takeaway, is they're absolutely right. They are in a complete cesspool politically. But they cannot fix that by trying to get either Trump or Biden, you know, defeated or elected. They have to organize among themselves and defend their own freedoms, their own livelihood. This is where they can really make a difference. They need to just take the courage that brought them there and just take it home with to them and use it there. Use it there. Organize there. Organize the people around you. Open up a business. Pick one business. Open it up and then defend it. You know, that things like this can, this is how the revolution will really get going. And just let the honest emotion that you feel, because you know that this is taking you to oblivion, let that emotion help you fight back.
Yeah, I was listening to an interview with Pam Popper.
Yeah.
I think she lives in Ohio.
Yes, she is in Ohio, yeah.
And she was talking about what's occurring there. And she was saying how some of the businesses have just simply restaurants she knows that have simply refused to comply and stayed open. And they're open. And they're saying, we're going to do it. I don't care. It's my living. Are you going to feed my family? You haven't demonstrated me any real risk here. Yeah, there's an emergency, decree, but you presented no evidence of emergency, so I'm not going to comply with it. And she says this is just happening, and it's not being reported. And that's what needs to occur. I mean, I think people are coming to this realization: they're not going to feed me, not going to take care of me. They may send me a $600 check every couple, you know, every 6 months. That's not going to gonna cut it. So what do you do?
In Los Angeles, the sidewalks are a street bazaar. I mean, they've got all legitimate businesses shut down, but the sidewalks are a street bazaar of crowded milling about of people selling little trinkets and goods. In fact, there was a famous episode where someone got sick from buying live crabs on the Wilshire Boulevard from a little stand that someone set up, because there isn't any, I mean, you know, these businesses are not regulated.
Yeah.
I haven't been there, but a guy sent me some pictures of them. They're just crowds everywhere. So the whole idea of fighting the pandemic by, you know, not getting rid of these businesses is sophistry. It's propaganda. They are destroying the businesses because they were part of this group's freedom. They're trying to replace the businesses with Amazon, Walmart, Costco, oligarch businesses, which are narrow pipelines where their digital currency can control. And so it's just a kind of a way of locking us down. So how do we fight that? We open our little businesses back up, you know, and we whenever we can, we don't use any of the big box. We try to create currency circulation and emotional support and ideological support, you know, exchanging ideas, encouraging people to do this, you know, telling them how important it is. This is how we can
That's one of the reasons why one of the aspects of the lockdown was preventing people from peacefully assembling so they can't conspire.
Yeah.
you know, it's like, the world, I mean, it's like, you know, they sign out of networks. It's the world is a business, Mr. Beale. It has been since man crawled out of the slime. The organizing principle, I was listening to Catherine Austin Fitz talk about this, and she said the organizing principle of the world is oligarchic conspiracy. And the trick they play on everybody is they tell everyone that, well, conspiracy theory is crazy stuff. Don't conspire. So the little guy doesn't conspire. But the very few wealthy are conspiring against you. And that's just a reality. I mean, they openly admit it. They don't call it it. But it is a conspiracy. I mean, it's a conspiracy because they're working together. If you just look at what they've done with the banking system, the monetary system, and the manipulation of credit. It's obviously they're the house and you're playing their game. It's rigged against you. The longer you play, the more you lose. That's
it has been a company store, and we've been slaves, and this is what we've just accepted for hundreds of years. they've genocided us from time to time, you know, World War One, World War Two, Vietnam, you know, from time to time, they've reduced population. But this is completely different. Now they're on a larger scale, they're on a global scale, and this isn't going to be something that we can accept or survive.
No, it's you're telling people if you comply, you're consigning, if not yourself, your children and your grandchildren to misery. In fact, they won't even have, you may not even have any grandchildren because they're going to be killed off. And so because you just want to go along to get along and preserve what you think you have, what you think you can maintain, fine. But you're not going to be able to keep it anyway. So that even that self-interest isn't even real self-interest at this point. Complying with
exactly.
the stuff, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So it's, you know, so we can fight and be bold with the courage of someone who has almost nothing to lose at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's how bad this situation is. We are in a, if you look out, you know, 50 years, this is a absolutely desperate situation.
I mean, look at, like in Georgia, this, supposed to this important runoff election. They just cheated the same way they cheated during the presidential election.
Sure.
And no one, nothing was said about it. And we're supposed to accept that? You know,
well,
an argument could be made. Should people should have boycotted it or denied it the legitimacy, you know?
Yeah. You know, so you know, I don't want to give people the idea that this is a moment to be blackpilled. The last thing you want is to look at these events and go, gee, you know, we've been outsmarted. You know, they've diffused our capacity to rebel against COVID. Looks like, you know, everything is headed in the wrong direction. Here comes Biden. And you know that he's not going to bring, you know, an opening up of America. I mean, he's Mr. Dark Winter.
Yeah.
If ever there was a, you know, a president. But so what? So what? Yeah, of course this is stacked against us. Look, they've been slaughtering us for hundreds of years. We have one enormous advantage right now is that we have awareness and it's growing.
Yeah, they've exposed themselves. They've revealed themselves.
Yes.
I mean, look at the media. Look how ham-fisted and fake it is. I mean, I would say that the days of Eric Severide or Walter Cronkite and Edward R. Murrow were far more sophisticated. You know, looking back at it, it's easy to see through it now because we're given the information to see through it. But looking back at it, it was far more professional and dignified, which is part of its trick. Now it's just, you know, a bunch of aging news babes who slept their way to that position with the news director, and they're just spouting nonsense at you. And it's so obviously over the top. There's no even. I was just thinking the coverage of this, of whether it's the election debacle or the events this week, is there's no real attempt to even put up a pretext of journalistic objectivity. Like, why were they upset? You know, let's say given the narrative of the election, there's no even introspection or investigation. Why are people upset? You're just crazy. Now, the reasonably informed observer knows that simply isn't the case. There's a context to this. They didn't even provide a context to Wednesday's events. It's just crazy. Why would anyone ever be upset at Nancy Pelosi or Congress or at Mitch McConnell? Why would anyone ever be upset? Why would anyone want to? Why is it that so many people are pleased by the image of that guy sitting at her desk? Why is there some sort of humor or gratification in that? Why did that man feel gratified doing it? You know, there's no context to that. You know.
Yeah, and there's no dignified personality to bring their fake reality to the public. And like you say, that's a good point. You know, Walter Cronkite. Edward R. Murrow, you know, these guys, they were gravitas. And so the propaganda in one way was more sophisticated. Now you have airy fairy people, but.
Yeah, Chris Cuomo. Can you imagine Chris Cuomo dressing down like McCarthy?
Yeah. but there is the momentum of propaganda and of, you know, the idea that what they're giving us is reality. But I honestly think that, we are at a point in information history where we got a chance, Tim. We have a real chance to complete the information revolution. There is just so many, aspects to it. So many people are wondering about it. And the most encouraging thing is that the information that I got from the people who were attending, that there is inside even that group, there is an awareness that Trump may be fake.
Mm-hmm.
There are people actually bringing that idea up. It wasn't an idea that was just in outer space. There are actually people who are talking about this.
Well, here's the thing. It doesn't make a difference in the final analysis. I had someone comment. I was talking about Trump, and someone suggested me that he's naive. He was well-intentioned and naive. And I said, perhaps. But I find it hard to believe that someone who was involved in New York real estate and development for so many years, owned casinos, and was friends with Roy Cohn is naive. I just find it hard to believe. Okay, perhaps he was in the Empire State. That's the junior leagues, and now he was outclassed. That's a possibility. Whatever. But in the final analysis, it doesn't make a difference. Just like Mike Pence, assuming Mike Pence is well intentioned, saying that he does think he didn't have the power to do anything, that he has to uphold and defend the Constitution. He doesn't have any options here, and it's a matter of principle. Here again, an example of whether he's just using that rhetoric to justify a very cynical maneuver to look the other way, or whether he's hopelessly naive. It really doesn't do us any good at the end of the day, because he's not dealing with the reality. The reality is, when you're confronted with an opposition which ruthlessly violates all the rules, and then it gets to a point where they're about to claim victory, and they go and they demand that you follow all the letter of the law. Like, what? That's why I have no patience with these lawyers. You know, whether it's Napolitano or something. Well, this is illegal. The lawyers aren't doing us any good, because the lawyers, they're supposed to be able to point at the law and say, you know, if this, then that, then this, then these are the laws. But they're not following the rules. It's like they violate all the rules. They have these unconstitutional elections, and the courts ignore them. Then we're told we have to follow the rules. But the thing is, to understand the law, you really don't have to be a lawyer. It's not that complicated. Any layperson can look at it and go, well, that's not right. And you know when they're being sold a bill of goods. And that's when, you know, if there was any opposition, a Trump or a Pence could step in and go, no, the law has been broken. Our job is to enforce law, enforce the Constitution. You're violating the Constitution. This cannot stand. That didn't happen. That's what I said earlier. I said at every stage of the game, the Republicans were in a position. They had the power. They had the evidence. You know, they're the majority party. They could have stopped the steal at any point, and they didn't do it. And people should let that sink in. It speaks volumes about the nature of the two parties and what we're really faced. Because it's a uniparty, and the uniparty is controlled by an oligarchy.
Right.
That's where you have to focus your attention.
In terms of what just happened, the timing of Pence's statement is critical to understand, because if he had given that position that he wasn't going to, he felt he didn't have it in his powers to change within the constitutional authority to change the election, that would have probably kept 90% of those people from showing up, because mm-hmm. they would have realized that this was just, you know, going nowhere. The protests really couldn't help. Trump was giving the impression that if they came, if they showed the power of democracy, this would give a backbone to Pence, and that the Republicans would then, you know, do, as you point out, they could have done, which is stop the steal. But since Pence and Trump are in communication, obviously, the fact that Pence only had this revelation after the crowd had been assembled, this is obviously artificial. This is obviously just done as part of the dramatic construction with which they will damage the psychology of the European. You know, this is again, it's like the authoritarian personality, where they get you to believe that your desire to have authority as a father, for example, is neurotic.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
So here, you know, the idea that you should, stand up against a fraudulent election. I mean, even people in your own party are telling you that this is, untrue. It's not real. You're being, an insurrectionist. And so you come away feeling horrible, confused, and doubting your own sanity. I think that was the goal. Well, you know, this theater is just not that good, and people should easily get past this. And hopefully, we can in the months ahead particularly with the stimulation of the Biden lockdown as he increases the lockdown on us, and with with the ongoing destruction of the economy, we'll find a backbone that they tried to take away with this fake theater of the last 7 days, but now that we're on the other side of that, we can rebound, we can regain our strength, and this time we can attack something that is actually the cause of our problems and not just the distraction that they're giving us to keep them safe and us confused.
It's almost like when you're a similar issue is these various warnings you get about the ongoing pandemic, which they don't seem to have the quite the effect they had 5, 6, 7 months ago.
No.
Fauci's new warning, the mutant virus. I know the lockdowns are being imposed, but people are, I don't think people are seeing it as a real threat anymore. You're just maybe they're complying. For the most part, but then you don't see the panic anymore. So
Yeah, I mean, they obviously are at a point where they've saturated the zombie apocalypse, COVID disaster. People can, I mean, where I live, there's just no one that's sick. They talk about the newspapers are saying, oh, this horror story. There's all these ICU beds, but this is just a normal flu season here in Santa Barbara.
But the
If you
flu,
look
but the flu's
at the
disappeared.
data, this is just a normal flu season here in Southern California. Even though LA is like they're saying it's a red zone, it's like a war zone inside the hospitals. I've talked to people who are there. This is just a regular flu season. They're just giving us the drama again.
They
There is
keep it
one.
up, the bubonic plague will make a big comeback.
Yeah.
You know.
So so we're in a great. We are. Again, to get out of the black pill. Kind of mood. We are in a great position now. We are clearer minded than we were in February. The events of the last month are very clarifying. We should be able to see now both parties as being controlled. We can now see the group that is controlling them. We can see what they're doing to us, and we can start to unify. And we even know where to unify. We need to unify right on Main Street. That's where we need to get together. We need to open up businesses and start defending them. That's what we need to
Well,
do.
it's the same. Like,
And
remember,
exchanging information,
last late spring, the lockdowns were being removed, or they're disintegrating. People were just weren't putting up with as the spring weather came in, and the media was trying to push hard to shame people, to frighten people. It just wasn't working. And then you had the George Floyd incident,
Yeah,
and
exactly, yeah.
you had the mostly peaceful protest, the riots, looting, and then we're instructed by the media that they're mostly peaceful. That where is it written that riot protesters have to be polite? Chris Cuomo lectured America. Whoever watches them, I saw the clip. I don't know what his ratings are like, but people were told that you have to understand these are peaceful protests, and that they didn't pose any threat to spread the virus because racism was more serious disease than COVID-19, whatever that is. But people saw the hypocrisy. It's like, what are you talking about? And so all of a sudden, for a few weeks, the pandemic went away, and we were in the midst of this. For 5, 6 weeks, there was a struggle, anti-white, pogrom or struggle session, which was completely orchestrated by the media and the corporations. And now we have this incident, in Capitol in Washington, D.C. On from any normal standard, a minor incident in terms of property damage. I believe if there had been a BLM riot or an Antifa riot, the place would be a smoldering ruin, and Congress would be working together a welfare package for blacks as compensation. But
Yeah,
now,
Tim, this is exact. See, this. And
but
so go ahead.
I
Go
was
ahead.
going to
Sorry.
say is now we're being everyone's coming out against the insurrectionists, the terrorists, and all that stuff. And then being, wait a second, I'm looking at all this videotape of you praising the rioters last summer. It doesn't make any. Just the hypocrisy is too much. There's no credibility anymore. I know the
Well,
media is portraying as if everyone thinks that this was horrible. I think, again, a good 85, 90 million Americans look at it and going and saying, "What do you expect? You should expect more if you keep this up."
Yeah, I think that the way to look at what happened with the insurrection in Washington, D.C., is the same thing with it's just the other side of the Floyd George killing approach. In both instances, the instigating event is sort of lightweight. I mean, poor Floyd supposedly died, but it's a single person. He's resisting arrest. But the response is this enormous psychological maneuver against Europeans. Take a knee, it's systemic racism. Well, here it's the gosh darn Europeans broke in. They tried to take over the elected representative's office. It was an insurrection. I mean, and the timing is, again, just as the Lloyd George timing was, because they were losing the COVID fear
But who
motivation.
they have a Viking character.
Horned beast. But and so now you
So
have the same,
Thor is gonna take invade
right?
the
And it's
guy.
interesting because this is not exactly your typical Trump supporter, is it?
No, nor was
And
that
yet
guy
this
with the
one got all the publicity. So you can see these
nor
are
the
just,
people with the sickle and hammer tattoos on their hands.
this is just theatrical. But it's the way to way to look at what happened with Trump, Pence, and this whole the whole fake insurrection is it's just another iteration of a propaganda theater with the same purpose. You see, it's a even though it's structured differently and you wouldn't notice it as having the same purpose unless you did a little bit of analysis, but they're exactly the same thing. I mean, Lloyd George and the insurrection are the same thing. They're designed to damage the psychology of Europeans. It sets up a situation where you have all this the taking of the knee. Where is that coming from?
Well, you have
And
Joe
now.
Biden and Kamala Harris came out and they said if this had been a Black Lives Matter protest, there would have been far more bloodshed and violence. But wait a second. I remember all last summer, police taking the knee and white people bowing, begging for forgiveness for their sins. I didn't, I think. To this day, there are areas like in Portland that are under siege. The federal building in Portland was attacked. You had statues toppled, entire businesses destroyed, whole city blocks destroyed, looted. You can still see it on YouTube if you want. I mean, what are you talking about? But it's complete inversion.
Yeah, it's just they just give event after event that are fake, but are crafted in such a way so they damage the psychology of Europeans. They make us more easy to control, more easy to put up with the technologic slave state apparatus. And also, they were both designed to move us down in the social strata. I mean, they're going to the African Americans in the inner city will. Have the political power as they transition America into the, kind of the post-European phase,
Yeah,
and
they can govern their all their little Detroits.
yeah, well but that's the idea. I mean, if you want to see the future, I mean, just go to Haiti. This is kind of what they have. I'm sure this is the idea that they have in mind. They want to have that kind of a country. With very little education, very little wealth, and probably not a whole lot of people, because I think that population reduction will obviously going to take place en masse. So, where they want to take us, Tim, they've been wanting to take us, to that place for thousands of years. We have to fight back. We just can't put up with this. It's too clear what they're doing. In the 50s, MK Ultra, the onset of the sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and the personal computer, that was hard to see. Very few people could see that this was actually a project against us. But the Black Lives Matter violence with the media riot here of the insurrection, these are ham-handed. The COVID thing, this is ham-handed. We should be able to see through this pretty easily and start to organize ourselves. This is what we got to do, buddy. I know, scratchy record, but that's the thing. We have to organize, and we can't organize to try to have some sort of influence within the Republican Party. the Republican Party is tipped to stern a Masonic cesspool. There's nothing there to try to organize within. Forget all of those guys and just try to organize at a very small level. And then once you have an organization that's functioning, like the video we saw of the guys in Oregon, now you're in a position you can reach out to not to the Republican Party, but to the next town over.
Yeah,
say, let's have a security meeting where we talk about how we can defend ourselves.
You had these reports in as many as 17 states where state houses were invaded. You know, and all the reports, I think they're assuming it has something to do with the certification of the Electoral College in D.C. Right? I think it might have something to do more locally, I think. Like in Washington State, in Oregon, and in New Mexico, these are tyrannical, wacky governors. And so I'd like to see more of that because, you know, how else do you seek redress in government? A, if the vote is fraudulent. And B, if the government can't meet or because of COVID, at some point the people are going to have to go there and demand something, unless they be driven into poverty and starve to death. And of course, this is all this. You know, it's just basically the entire year has been one big color revolution. Now, color revolution doesn't mean you're overthrowing a good guy. It doesn't mean that Trump, you know, was the savior. It's just for one reason or another, they needed him gone. And they orchestrated this entire year to create an environment not only to erode his base of support by destroying the economy, but also creating a distance where they could have a fraudulent election and have this very event play out the way they planned it out. You know, just look at the Transition Integrity Project, its Soros-backed operation. The guy, this guy Eisen, who works for it, is actually an expert in color revolution. So we've witnessed a color revolution in this country. And it's continuing because the color revolution isn't just the presidency of the United States. It's the down ballot candidates. It's the installation of what I call, you know, chaos agents in the states with district attorneys and police chiefs and sheriffs who are dedicated to promoting disorder and destroying local communities. And this is where you get where you have the big problem is, yeah, they're the candidates and those officials are the problems, but who funded them? Then you have to go after the oligarchs like George Soros and the interests he represents. But the big issue right now is, you know, again, it's what they're doing overall with the economy. The election is one part of that, but you know, this whole great reset plan. Someone asked me the other day about public health and how in China the definition of public health or how they identify a pandemic. Well, public health is always a political tool, but traditionally you have public health as if you have people testing positive and people being sick. Well, in the United States, public health has determined a pandemic for people just testing positive. And why is that? Is it stupid? And so that's why I responded to him, is because public health is being used to advance a political agenda. You know, if a politician told you that you have to close your business, you lose your job, become impoverished, you have to cancel all culture events, stop going to church, you have to put on a mask, pretty much suspend normal life so that a powerful, wealthy few elite can become even wealthier and even more powerful, you know, by imposing a technocratic slave state, most wouldn't comply. You know, no right. way, I'm not going to put up with that. But you could do all those things under the guise of a public health crisis, like a pandemic, which many people have come to expect after years of imbibing propaganda and predictive programming from Hollywood, you know, movies like, you know, all these movies they see like, you know, Outbreak or, you know, and then the public will largely accept it for a while, you know, but for a while, you know, like I said, the game isn't over yet. Fat Lady hasn't sung yet. So we'll see how it plays out. I mean, like I said, people, it's going to become pretty obvious to people that, you know, that they can't feed themselves. They'll lose you. You have 28 million families that are facing eviction this year, you know, because of this.
I wanted to go back to that point you made about the good idea of showing up at the state house, that it's not just wasted energy. I would say that rather what I would hope is that rather than take the time to organize, a demonstration at the state house, they try to have organizational meetings like the one that we saw on the videotape, the guys in Oregon.
Yeah, committees of safety or committees of correspondence and getting organization.
Right, exactly. Because the The state house is at a level of Masonic cesspool. There's nothing really you can do about it. The only thing you can do if you're going to have a protest is use the protest as an information, point of fact. You're just trying to get your word out. You use the idea of the state house as a prop so you can get some newspaper people to interview you. Then you can say, look, you know, this is a technologic slave state being implemented by the oligarchs. The media will probably thwart that. I think the best bang for the buck are these committees of public safety.
You're right about that, because again, this goes back to my earlier comment about protesting, is that people think just because sort of the narrative of the 1960s or narrative of revolution in general, like the narrative of the storming of the Bastille, which is kind of phony, or the storming of the Winter Palace, right, which is fake, that people have come to expect that the way you have a revolution is just this mass uprising, and you storm the centers of power and you overwhelm the government. That's never really been the case, really.
Those
are stories.
That's something that is given to us as a fake history.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, the best thing to do is these committees of public safety, which once you get it organized, you're a extra political party. You're outside of Republican Democrats. You don't attend meetings that are on the way up in the food chain.
These are parallel. You're developing parallel organizations.
Your own political, your own power structure. And
dare I say, revolutionary cells?
Yeah, and your political process is to link up with the next town. That is political power. That's an avenue we can actually walk down, as opposed to trying to get up into the, you know, the Masonic cesspool state house where you've got Whitner, Cuomo, because these people are actors.
Well, it's like, people have said, people started noticing problems with the internet about 10 years ago, possible censorship. And they develop ideas of creating what they call mesh networks, right?
Yeah.
And now I'm not really up on the technicality of that, but I understand it. It's overlapping. It's not centralized. And that's the same way you can have to do with economic systems and cultural or interactions and, levels of intercourse, meaning that that's the way, if you don't have any center of power, it's a way to wait. One thing, it's a way to get along day to day without starving to death. Which is very important.
For a starter.
For and a starter.
Moreover, it's a way to actually create real political power en masse.
At the same time, then eroding legitimacy in the eyes of the public of the state, and that you isolate the state. And that's, ultimately needs to be done, because at this point, these centers of political power are lost to us.
The best response from the people who are attending Washington, D.C., is to realize that process, that the process of electing the president is simply a closed shop, which is controlled inside a Masonic cesspool, and everything that comes out of it is a lie. There is nothing we can do at this point to have any kind of control over it. So what are we going to do with our energy? We're going to go home. If every one of those people, I mean, I don't know, was a million people, half a million people, if they all went back and they started to build the committee of public safety in their local homes or their blocks, that would be, I mean, within a couple of years, we could turn the whole thing around if this thing could grow. Because this is where power lies, Tim. And once the committees for public safeties are established, they can actually start to give up, they can become a real media where we can then use the power of the internet to start exchanging real, honest information among ourselves. So if someone, listening to us chat, if they're actually curious, if you know five people, set up the committee of public safety and just see what happens. Have the honest discussion among yourselves as to how to, best leverage your position and your awareness of what's going on to make your lives better.
Yeah. And that was the, like Catherine Austin Fitz says, if you're not part of a conspiracy, you better become part of one.
You make better become one. Yeah, Catherine's a smart lady. And that is, I love that quote. That's a really true statement. It's like the Georgia Guidestones. If you don't know the people who created that thing, then you're in the group that's about to be exterminated.
Yeah.
It's perfect. It's a perfect revelation of where you are in the world. So if you're not part of the conspiracy, become one. Get five of your friends together and set up the committee of public safety for your town, and then try to grow it. And if it is, if you become, 10 people and strong, reach out across the block to another small town and see if you can link up, because that's what we need to do right now.
Yep. Okay, Joe.
Tim, well, I mean, we're still in insanity month. We'll see how it all goes, but it's hard to predict over the next 10 days, that's for sure.
Well, apparently Biden isn't going to have an inaugural. I guess if they did, no one would show up. At least anyone who did would be probably protesters.
Well, he would just forget that he was supposed to show up. I mean, how would you even get him there? It'd just be ludicrous. And the idea of him giving a speech, I mean, they're really going to have to, I mean, the management of Biden is going to be quite interesting because, I mean, I know they have all these sophisticated ways of being able to use him as a puppet, basically, to make him talk and have, but, that stuff is not foolproof. And you could just, this is something I don't want to anyone make fun of, because we all walk down that path eventually, but his mind is going.
No, but
you're
not president of the United States at that stage.
Comical.
Yeah. And then it's a question of who's behind Kamala, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Who is behind it? So we'll see. Well,
I think
anyway,
we know.
We'll get them next week, Tim.
Thank you, Joe.
So much.
Enjoy
care.
The weekend.
Bye
bye. Thank you.